Attention, spoilers are beginning now.
Sci-fi party line.
Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line Podcast. This is your hostess, Kat. Today, I have with me Carl.
Hey!
Hanako.
Hi!
And Stephanie.
Hey!
I don't know what's wrong with these guys today. I think I know. They're trying to fake sounding happy because today we're going to talk about Cloverfield Paradox.
And so, well, I'm actually happy because I just actually get a chance to be here. So
I know Hanako's been so busy. She has like five jobs right now. And so
five jobs, you lazy lima bean.
And so she hasn't been able to watch anything or podcasts, but she said she watched this thing for some reason. So I was like, okay, we got to do it. Stephanie was like, I'm down. And I was just like, Stephanie and Hanako, we have to do this.
And then you called me and said, so, you need to watch this fine motion picture.
I'm not sure that happened. I said I wanted to podcast something in our group messenger, and Carl never really said he was going to watch it. All I did was woke up with a text this morning at 8 a.m. that said FFS.
Wait a minute. Who's got the boom mic? I'm sorry.
Hanako.
I just have a regular headset.
Is it all the way
Are you hitting the headset? What is that banging sound?
I don't know what that was.
Okay. She sounded a little too innocent for me. Okay, anyway.
No, it was the paradox.
Okay.
That's what it was.
All right. Calm down. Right. So everybody was watching the Super Bowl except for me because I was rewatching Star Trek Discovery because awesome. Anyway, we'll get to that later. And so all I heard on, because I still was looking at Twitter just to see people clowning on Twitter, because when there's an event, people are at their funniest on Twitter. It's just a riot. So I heard about, oh, guys, guess what? Netflix is releasing this thing called Cloverfield Paradox after the Super Bowl. Everybody must watch. And it was just like this big deal. And so I was just like, Cloverfield, okay. You know, the original, I had a little bit of fury upon exit there. Second Cloverfield, I didn't hate it. I thought it was kind of, you know, cool. You know, I thought we were going to go place. And then so we had something called Cloverfield Paradox. And you know when something says paradox is serious.
Oh my God.
Sure.
Okay. So and so then we watched it. Till the end. And I gotta say, man, wow. So, Carl, what warranted in this film? Because it's just fair. I mean, it's just a typical film. Why did I get the angry FFS at 8 a.m. this morning?
You and I have had conversations about films in the past. And you have to understand, I hate this movie. Let me be very clear when I say I hate this movie. I hated this movie when it was called Pandorum. I hated this movie when it was Event Horizon. I hated this movie when it was Supernova and Sunshine. And if she had gotten space knocked up, it would have been Extant 2. I hate this same story.
Wasn't this? This was also another Earth.
You remember that? I hate this story. Where, I mean, it's the same thing where, okay, let's see if I... The Earth is in danger. A small crew in a claustrophobic situation has to work together to try to save things. It goes awry, and then, in a twist that no one sees coming, the enemy is us. How is this even sci-fi at that point? I'm so tired. It never, ever works. Ever works. If you're going to rip off a story, if you're going to invest money in a science fiction movie, why are you going to rip off Pandorum? Why are you going to rip off Event Horizon? These movies were rejected the first 8 times they came out. Nobody goes to see them. And now they're going, you know what? We're going to put the best possible cast that we can put together on the worst story that has already been rejected by everybody. Let's see how that goes. And then you just shovel it out. Just shovel it out.
But it was on Netflix for free.
I don't care. I hate this movie. This is time I don't get back. I hate these. It's the same movie.
Yep.
Stephanie.
Cat, it sounds like you have a turd off contender already in February.
Yep. I mean, I'm just recuperating from last year. You saw what we went through with that cast. I was like, whoo, I'm glad I don't have to deal with that until the end of the year. And then bam, just shovels this bag just right at me. Slide it under the door.
I cannot believe you are so angry. Oh my God.
I hate this story. I really hate this story. Why do they keep making it?
Okay, well, Stephanie, did you hate it as much as Carl?
Yes. 100% hated it as much as Carl, if not more, because I just watched Europa Report the day before, and that movie, it feels like it's going to go to those places, but it doesn't, and it's surprising and awesome. Yeah. This movie went to all of the places, and it was not consensual, and I didn't like it.
I feel violated.
I feel violated, exactly. Oh, like, it's okay. So there are so many moments where I thought, I'm going to quit. Right now, I'm an adult. I don't have to watch this.
Right.
You know when it was? Like, the one where I was like, oh, so close to quitting, was when this dude's arm came and told them something. No. About what? Actual F! No! No,
not open Voltaire.
No! To be honest with you, the right arm was the only thing I hadn't seen before.
Saw Evil Dead? That was straight up Evil Dead. Come on.
Well, okay, I'm in this class of movie, but you're right. It is also, what is it, the Addams Family too. But the point is still, to see that in a high-quality science fiction motion picture was quite a shock, I gotta tell you. I was not prepared for the arm writing a letter.
So that whole actor, he was from the IT Crowd, and he's kind of a comedic actor, and his tone throughout the whole film while this was going, it's a serious, scary film, but he's like trying to provide the comic relief, and it's just not landing.
No, they're like, hey, let's put some jokes in here, because that really worked with Marvel. Well, no! What are you doing? No! No. All these indie darlings are in this movie, and I thought, well, maybe?
The cast, really, I agree. I was like, wow, this could be great with a cast like this.
It was a parabolic failure. It was like, oh my God, this is coming back toward me failing at my face. No.
It was a paradox.
God.
Okay, Hanako. All right. Did you hate it as much as they did?
I can't say I hated it. It was entertaining, but I was a bit confused because it's been a while since I've seen the original Cloverfield, and I have not seen 10 Cloverfield Lane yet. So I was sitting here the whole movie trying to figure out like exactly how everything is connected. I'm like, okay, I don't know. I wasn't getting it. And I just felt like maybe I was out of my element because I've been kind of MIA. I've been on like TV and movie hiatus for the last couple of months. So,
and you welcomed it back with this. ushered it back with this.
You know what? And that's the funny thing, because everybody was making such a big deal about it. You know, oh my God, we're getting a Cloverfield movie. They're dropping it like right after the Super Bowl. I didn't watch the Super Bowl because I was at work that night. And of course, I didn't have a pony in that race. So I really just didn't give a care. So, you know, I saw everybody talking about it, and I was like, oh, okay, you know what? I guess I'm gonna be with the pack for once in 2018, and I'm gonna watch it, and I'm gonna get ahead of the game and everything. And then I watched it, and I was just like, huh?
So the monster at the end that came up over the clouds, that wasn't enough for you, Hanako?
You're talking about the very last shot of the very last scene of the end of the movie. Yeah, all that did was give me more questions to ask. Like, okay, at least this time we got to see what they look like, but what the hell?
So there's a fine line. Like, I agree. There's a fine line. Monsters, okay. Demons, not cool. Humans lodged in spaceships, no. Not cool. Like, none of that is okay. I don't... The moment that that one dude was spouting off on cable television going, well, I mean, we don't know what could happen. Demons? Monsters? I'm like, if you bring demons into this, I will cut you in the spleen.
Well, then it just would have been Sunshine and Event Horizon then. You just gotta pick your genre within the insanity. So, Well, I have seen all of the previous Cloverfield, and the fact that they peripherally grafted on any relationship between the previous Cloverfield. I mean, seriously, for some reason they go in a bunker in a scene. That was the only reference from the second Cloverfield movie, right? Short of the last.
Oddly enough, I figured that out.
Clearly, because it made no sense. It didn't seem to fit in with anything else in there. And you're like, well, why are they in a bunker? Obviously, because that was somehow related to the second movie, which isn't explained as to why this was connected. So, no, it was
no,
just...
No, so what I thought, Carl, was I thought that this was an origin story, maybe, perhaps. I wasn't really clear. Well, because they were trying to figure out how did we get these things on planet Earth. And so the thing is that because they did the paradox and they got confused, that opened up a gateway for these things to come in. And I'm like, well, how is this not Pacific Rim? But I'm not going to go there, blah, blah, blah. And then...
See, I had that thought, too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's because you haven't seen any of these other horrible films.
That's where you went wrong, Hanako. You had a thought. You cannot actually engage your brain in this and enjoy it.
That's true.
Or else your soul might die. I don't like that they were like, oh, by the way, guys, this is how it all started. No, you're lazy ass. Get off of your lazy ass and write a good story. Look, just because you decided to do a completely different sequel to Cloverfield does not mean that it's suddenly our sci-fi emergency that we have to grasp this crock of shit.
And of course, let's talk about all the cliche jump moment horror shots in this film, okay? So as we're watching it, you know, foolishly, we're expecting that this is building to some sort of horrific crescendo. We're thinking, you know, we're going to get a monster, some good alien infection, you know, something like that happens. Did you notice that the bulk of the really, quote, shock, horror, scary scenes consisted of things like an angry foosball table?
Yeah. Oh, my God. That was crazy. I was like, I could have sat around and did that and filmed it with my phone and it would have just been the same thing.
A guy's crossed eye was utterly terrifying.
I know. That was
let's not forget the hell glue coming after somebody. I mean, these were the high points of the horror in this movie. Glue.
No, we got to talk about those worms. Those worms were gross. Look,
if they had actually done something, they just shot out of a dude, and it wasn't even the worm's fault. They were like, dude, we didn't even want to be in this movie. I'm sorry. My bad.
What? No. If you're going to show me gore, show me gore. His head was all intact. What did he do? Barf those? Did a big gas bubble? No, this is terrible. Your head needs to explode if it's going to happen that way.
But yeah, we didn't get to understand if the guy who lost his arm, if he lost his arm in the A universe or the B universe, and you know how that all worked with his arm going into the wall or whatever with the crazy little thing.
If Funny Boy had bled out and the only thing left was his talking arm, that would have been amazing. But no, missed opportunity. He had like a cleanly cut, totally like arm.
Painless.
Yeah, what the hell was that? Why?
Was
he should have bled out.
How was the arm conscious? I mean, that's the only part. I mean, we're tiptoeing around some utter insanity here. Apparently, not only could the arm crawl its way toward people, but it could listen into the conversation and participate actively.
This, you know, ridiculous. I wondered about that. I was like, utterly ridiculous.
It was getting so preposterous. You know the ending scene where, you know, where what's her name? Our head star, the only two girls left on the bridge, and you know there's a scene where she's coming after her with the gun, and they're in the quiet sick bay or whatever.
Oh, God.
And she looks up at the arm. I was like, is she gonna hand the arm a gun? How is this? Is the arm gonna save her now? You know what?
Oh my God! Who's? Hanako, are you sure your headphones That's are in properly? Hanako,
ain't nobody else heard that sound before she showed up. She is doing something over there.
You know what? No, I think
a blanket for it.
No, my headphones are telling me that my internet connection is weird. So that's what that is.
That is not an internet connection. I am telling you, you're either breathing on the mic or you're dragging a cord on something. That is not an internet problem.
I am sitting still on my bed like I haven't moved.
It's the paradox, guys.
It is. You have another arm running across the room. Yes. You have angry glue coming at you.
With a pair of ears. Hold on.
Let me get back to that glue.
Okay, what about the glue? I thought the glue was a nice, like, is that something in real life or is that something that was...
Oh, God.
Okay, look. There is so much wrong with the glue, so I'm just going to try to piece it one thing at a time. Now, assuming it was supposed to be some kind of magnetic metal-based glue, all right?
Right.
So you set it, you melt it in the wall, you set it like a weld, right? Okay, so he's standing there, and the wall in front of him is magnetic. All of the things are flying towards the wall where he is, right? Now, what would have been a cool damn scene, if you're going to try to be gory, is if the hot solder mold or molten stuff coming behind him had just punched through the dude on its way to the magnetic wall with everything else, right?
Ew, I mean, that's what I thought was going to happen.
It would have been this cool kind of like a blade thing happening. It would have been in the realm of physics. It would have made some kind of damn sense. No. For some reason, the instant that the metal glue touched him, it decided to grab him, pull him in the total opposite direction of the magnetic field. None of that.
So maybe
sense.
The same thing that gave the arm life gave the metal life.
That's why I wanted to check out. Because I'm sorry, you don't get to run on the souls of the damned. You do not get to do that. You're glue. Absolutely not.
Look, you know, the glue can be unsaved. It's possible. You never know.
The other thing that I had a problem with, Carl, I don't know if you and Hanako and Kat like figured this one out or saw it, but I had a problem with Blondie, who was in the ship when she came out. Like, nobody recognized her. Okay, that's fine. They're on that ship. Okay, cool. And then, or that space station, and then you find out that she's from a parallel universe space station and that's already crashed on Earth, and you find all of that out. Why is there a picture of her in the crew?
That was what I was wondering.
No. Like, it's a picture of her and the crew because once they switched over, the picture changed. It was a picture. It had the other. She wasn't in it the first time. You guys, you got to pay attention to the subtle hints of this artistry.
Why does it change? Nothing else changed.
To try to answer that question, why did it change? Is just there's your paradox right there. Because look, if nothing else changed. If it had truly been a material overlap or swap of the two universes, then all their butts would have been in the ocean with the crash station, out in space, where only for some reason Polaroids managed to transcend.
This one disappeared like the Enterprise did in First Contact.
This isn't a Fringe episode where the universes collide. Absolutely not.
Ooh, you see how they shut me down, Hanako?
No, I do not. That didn't make sense. It didn't make sense because if they were going to do that, then Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon should have left too. She should have been gone, and none of that made sense.
And no, why wasn't what's-his-face Hans or whatever the German dude was, why was there not two of him on board?
You can't cherry pick what shows up. You got to obey some kind of consistency. And that
do we even know how parallel universes work here? I mean, how do you?
You can crash into one.
We're thinking too much into this. This is what happened. Somebody put their grandma on Ambien. And then they just wrote down whatever the hell she just said, and that is your movie.
Wait, Grandma, you're saying the wall is eating his arm? Yes, that's the way I remember it. Okay, all right, fine.
Ambient fantasies is what we have, because it's kind of lazy, but also geniusly terrible. Like, so there it is, Ambient.
So I think this has really tarnished the Cloverfield thing, because I remember when everybody was super pumped about Cloverfield because for some reason, and I never really got the hype, and it was just supposed to be Cloverfield Supreme. This is going to be this great. I don't know. Do y'all remember the hype for Cloverfield?
I remember why. I mean, once
what,
again,
why?
Remember,
why?
This was back in the day when nobody was making any decent sci-fi movies. Seriously, there was this drought. There was this drought. And this is the same time when basically movies like what's our favorite one? Get our movie
Skyline
and other low budget sci-fi films were coming out to try to fill the void of all of the other ones. So Cloverfield was yet another example of a super cheap movie that was supposed to be, you know, answering the fans, or the fans' needs for a good monster movie. It was this, again, keep in mind, this is before we saw it, but this is what the hype was. It was, you know, it was going to be big, it was going to be exciting, it was going to finally get back to that classic sci-fi kind of popcorn thriller, and then you see what we got. But, so, you know, the problem was, it overpromised, it did not deliver, and again, what we saw was a sort of a letdown to the fans who had really embraced something that was supposed to have been an inexpensive thriller. So again, you know, it had that like Blair Witch thing going on too. So people had faith that independent filmmakers, small independent filmakers, could make something good.
But the first one was with J.J. Abrams. So what do you mean small?
This was him too, wasn't it?
It was from Bad Robot Productions. You know, when it's like the producers of so and so, then you
it
know
means
it's bad.
He shipped it off to
somebody
else.
It was produced. It has J.J. Abrams' name on it. And guess what, guys?
It looked pretty. It looked like a really nice television episode.
It was pretty production. It was great. Again, confuses me. Why would you put that kind of money? I mean, unless they got this set left over from something else. Why would you put that kind of money in the same story? Yeah.
Oh, guess what? Guess what? There's another Cloverfield coming out. It's called Overlord. Jeez. It's coming out this year.
That one's supposed to come out later on this year?
Sometime in 2020. I mean, 18. Sorry, this year. Mm. Yes, sorry.
Their only saving grace is that the next movie is nothing like this one. And they can, because Paradox. So you can have whatever you want. Whee!
But doesn't this,
no,
I feel like
I didn't like the original Cloverfield. I liked the other one, the Cloverfield Lane one. I liked that a lot.
But doesn't taint the excitement, because that was it's garbage. I'm sorry. This was garbage. Carl had every reason to be upset, but not with me. I'm not sure why he was upset with me. But I didn't do anything. I was just saying everybody was pumped up about it. We need to talk about the disaster that was Cloverfield Paradox, because it was terrible. But like, are people gonna want to see anything by Cloverfield anymore after this? Or were people
not me unless you make me watch it, then
how will we know
to?
Because no parts of Cloverfield really are consistent from one movie to the next,
right?
So
I'm gonna have to be sick that day, just letting you know in advance. I feel something coming on.
Oh my gosh, Cloverfield-itis. But you know what, I started thinking after I watched this Cloverfield Paradox, and I was like, you know, I think Skyline did a better job.
Yeah, that's a bad feeling right there. I mean, and technically, you are right. At least you saw new stuff in Skyline. Every Skyline had some element that was unique. It could have been crappy, but at least it was unique. No, not with this. We have seen this everywhere. everywhere.
I just can't believe it was a story about a woman who lost her kid, or her kids died because she was trying to be cheap or something. Yes. And she was, it was just like a regular story within space. They just threw it in space for no reason whatsoever.
Nope.
She's a good actress, but I'm sorry, I had zero sympathy for her. And then when she's like, well, I'm gonna go down there, what are you gonna do, kill your other self? Like, that's not even interesting. None of anybody's character stories in this was interesting. I didn't care. I didn't even care about random demon arm. I didn't care about that.
I would have liked to know more about demon arm. That was probably the most interesting character in the whole film to me, was random and demon.
Why was Gyrosphere suddenly in
Worm Guy's
body?
So he notices a worm behind his eye, but does not notice a metallic soccer ball lodged in his belly. No problem with that. But I think there's something in my eye. Do you see it? Oh my god, this is insane. It was insane.
Okay.
It was like, it doesn't make sense, and it hurts my brain. I don't like it.
Wait, Cat, what?
No, I'm saying you're probably right that this is, quote, supposed to be an origin story. I have a feeling that, you know, this alien invasion thing, like, transcends time or something. So the movie that we have seen before and the movies that we will see afterwards, this was the door that unlocked the monster showing up on Earth. But it was this moment in time that ripped the space that allowed them to come into the prequel and into the ones that come after this.
Carl, you just did a lot of work right there. You just did a lot of work. And I was like, you're doing all this work. And I'm about to say that I declare that we don't watch these anymore because they are terrible. I haven't, like, the second one was good, but not good enough to rave about. And I'm not sure I'm going to fall for the funk anymore. I can't have this type of disappointment in my life this year. It's a new year.
Unless some demon arm forces me to watch it Clockwork Orange style, I am not watching another Cloverfield movie. Yep. I'm going to be sick that day. Sick with happiness for not having to watch it.
I wonder who's the person who loved it. I think maybe it was Eric.
Oh, what? No, I don't think Eric loved this. Well, I mean, he
have you met Eric?
He likes movies like Sunshine because they don't have convincing endings and the production value is extraordinarily high. So he likes those kind of movies. But this one, the production value is not enough. Not high enough. Not enough for
you. No, well, he was the person who didn't have a problem with Skyline, so.
This felt like a bargain bin Black Mirror episode mixed in with, like, the worst of any science fiction show.
It does seem like a bargain basement.
It's like the Hollywood Video version of a Black Mirror episode. Right. There's not even any moral story in this. You know, in Black Mirror, at least you get that, and that's why technology is bad. You know? We don't even get that in this movie.
No! What you get is a bunch of questions.
The moral story is, don't steal a power cell to keep your children during an energy crisis.
Come on now. Hey, you talk about
that was miserable.
That moment when she's sending that recording to herself.
Oh,
and
I know.
She goes, there are just two things I need to tell you. As soon as she said, I said, please, no. First of all, don't install the powers. Okay, yes, but don't say it. And second, and this is the most important thing, dear God, please, don't let her say it. I want you, when you get home, oh my God.
Cherish
your children. Oh my God. I was done. And then I was like, no, she didn't do it.
You're like, I'm an adult, I can leave.
You love them. And I was like, oh my God.
With the crying, with the giant eyeballs crying.
It was telegraphed from like the beginning of the movie. I did not want that moment at all here.
Oh my god.
Do we need to talk about the flash drowning? The unnecessary flash drowning that everybody could see? First of all, if you're ever in a movie like this, stay out the airlock. All right, just right there. Just don't even go in the airlock. Do not, if something's wrong with the airlock, go, well, we did it.
What happened?
Oh, what happened? What do you mean, what happened?
Here's
what
happened. He's talking about when Zhang Ziyi's character...
I had to be specific. Whatever
you want to call it.
Awry with the airlock. And there's like two characters died because of that. So, you know, you can just pick your one.
That's what happened to her. Okay. I left for a moment to just gather my wits. Uh-huh. I came back and then a couple people were gone. And I didn't even care to rewind.
I got you. Well, you missed a fantastic freeze death. Scene that moment where she's reaching for the window and all of the ice freezes instantaneously and just locks her in the airlock. That was just brilliant. I mean, that is fine.
Is that sarcasm? Okay, I got one good thing about the film. One good thing. Shut up. Okay. So we noticed that what was her name? Zhang Ziyi's character. She primarily only spoke
Mandarin.
Mandarin, thank you. And what I liked about that is that if this film were to, you know, be seen somewhere in China, they would.
They are counting on it.
Okay, so when Chinese people who speak Mandarin watch this film, they won't have to translate that part or watch it dubbed or anything like that. They would just understand her, and only the American, German, and other characters would have to be dubbed. And I thought that was kind of cool because that's just less work. I thought that maybe science fiction films in the future could almost try something like that. I always wonder if
weirdest praise. Are you kidding me?
But conceptually, I'm with you on that, and I think that makes sense because it is obvious. You know, we've had this talk before, you know, on Sci-Fi Party Line about how they are trying to make these films more and more international, trying to sell them to international audiences. So I get that. And once again, because everything is so obvious in this movie, it's clear that that's what they're doing. But guess what? Guess what? They're going to have the exact same experience that black people have had in action movies since 1973, which is like, wait a minute, the only character that's from China irrationally wanders out into an airlock and has to die for no damn good reason? This movie sucks. And they're going to say that in Mandarin. This is not selling it here. They're not valued as characters. They're thrown in as fodder to get killed off, and it doesn't help that it's in a native language. So
I'm trying to be positive.
I saw that too, Kat. I mean, I know. I'm like, who's going to watch this movie? And when I saw it, I was like, oh, that's what they're trying to do. But then they didn't make her character at all heroic or deep or basically even integral to the main story.
She was important to her comrades because they all were really sad when she left.
You know, because they turned around and walked away real quick and left her frozen in the airlock all that time.
But that's probably like cryo, right?
No.
Well, I mean, I don't think there was really anything else they could do because the back of the ship on the ship on the back end of that freeze was kind of gone. So maybe that was, you know, that was keeping the whole, I don't know.
It was keeping the whole
ship from freezing.
The door was closed, so she on the other side, so that wasn't it. But no, it's just embarrassing. I mean, look, when you are looking for representation in a film like this, just in general, you know, you tend to root for the character that looks like you. And so if you're trying to sell this to an Asian market, and they finally see, wow, you know, they've got a character, looks like me, they're speaking my language, I love this, and then they treat them like that in the story? That's not winning anybody. I don't understand why you would do that. I don't get that. Like, what was that movie that we saw? The one, oh God, what was that? That sequel, that horrible End of the World sequel. Oh yeah, it was Independence Day too.
Oh my God, really?
There's a scene where we see Asian characters, and basically they are heroes in the movie because you remember they had the moon base, they had the pretty girl that was the co-pilot and saved everybody.
Oh, damn, I forgot about that.
That's a heroic portrayal. of people who haven't been represented well in a lot of American films. That's how you do it if you're going to try to sell it internationally. Mm. You don't slide somebody token in and then just kill them off for no reason. It just frustrates the audience.
Carl, guess what? Okay, so the new Overlord Cloverfield film, here's the plot. In 1944, two American paratroopers are shot down over Normandy in the midst of the D-Day invasion, and they discover that the Nazis are using supernatural forces against them.
No, absolutely not.
If they have an albinizer in this, it could get good.
Absolutely not.
Yes.
What Nazis, though?
Space Nazis.
You made me watch that horrible movie that Carl just referenced.
Yes.
Absolutely not.
And the sequel is due out soon.
Definitely. You got to watch it, girl. You got to watch sick. It.
I feel sick that day. Whatever it is.
Just for Steph. The coming era? The coming feud?
I don't know, but Steph, you have to watch it.
Absolutely not.
But at least that was fun, bad, though.
Yes, it was. It was.
Stephanie.
That's.
She is silent on that.
No. Absolutely not.
No, I mean, look, the physics was wrong. The technology was dumb. Here's one minor thing, okay? Space station is a space station, all right? It's an orbital platform. In other words, it depends on the Earth to keep it in its location in space. When it zapped back into the parallel universe or whatever, okay, whatever the magic of, you know, dimensional displacement, fine. Now it's on the entire other side of the sun from Earth. Okay, fine, right? How are they going to get home? What kind of engines would be on a ship? A station. You can't fly a station anywhere.
They got thrusters, don't they?
Do you know how weak those thrusters would be?
You're talking Deep about Space Nine out? Had good thrusters. Maybe they had some.
They also had good plots.
Oops.
So, you know, they can't get home. They've got a little bit of rocket engine.
Maybe they got a shuttle.
They were a runabout. Put Tall Girl in that, and somehow she was going to fly all the way, half the orbit around the sun. So I wasn't even touching that to get back to Earth. So, you know, this is just one thing after another. It was just terrible. Oh, by the way. We've been waiting for this magical super power up the whole movie where the station, you know, finally gains its critical mass. And, you know, in the beginning, we see the purple light and it's flashing and it's all dangerous and humming. Finally, at the end of the movie, they finally get this power core running. I'm like,
when everybody's dead.
No. I was like, oh, we're going to see this, you know, bolt of energy shoot down from the station to Earth, you know, to save the planet. Or, you know, we're going to see this rainbow arc or something. Look, just like somebody turned on a fluorescent light. It's like, click. Now it's on. It's working. Yay. Humanity is safe. I'm like, are you shitting me with this? That's it. That is it. It was gray light. It was just like, I said, okay, that's it. I am done with this dumb movie.
Okay, Carl, one last thing. Mm. What about that monster, though?
Why are you messing with me? Who cares? At this point, who cares? That movie could have been in a totally other movie. I could have actually slipped on Godzilla at the end, and it would have made more sense.
But it looked like Godzilla, though, right? Because I thought the monsters in Cloverfield had, like, floaty arm things or whatever. And this was just like a Godzilla.
How did you ever see the monster? Like, I don't recall seeing any monsters in Cloverfield.
They didn't show them a lot. But you would see, like, vague flashes of a tentacle or something, right?
The glimpse of the first one actually did have more of a Godzilla feel to it. There were minions. There were little ones that, yes, were like mad squids that run through the sewers and whatnot. But the big one had sort of a Godzilla thing happening, so that's what they were finally referencing. But that does not excuse it at all. I mean, I know that just makes you mad. See, because you're like, well, we could have had that for the whole movie. Why are you just putting that here now?
I watched the whole thing and I saw that.
Carl thinks this is the best movie of the world.
Carl is angry. I know when I saw that monster head pop up and it looked all fake and rubbery, I fell out laughing. I was just like, am I supposed to respond that way? Or what's happening right now?
Did it shoot up like that because the pod hit it coming back down?
You know, I was really tripping at the husband's reaction, because it's like all of a sudden he went ballistic and the little girl was looking at him like, what the fuck? You know, he's like, you tell them from coming, or whatever it was he was yelling. It's like, dude, he just told you they lost communication. There's no way, like, your wife is coming home regardless of what you think, and you're losing it in front of a little girl you saved. And yeah, this is getting really, really weird.
And by the way, when you say you saved, by that you mean you have locked her alone with you in an underground bunker. Radically at that point. That's going to make
He lost his children, so he probably, it wouldn't be weird. Come on, he had kids. He probably like, oh, this is like my kid. Let's just make it innocent. Because I can't go that far with this.
It's kind of creepy because, of course, he just, you know.
I wouldn't go.
Crater. It could have been Supergirl. We don't know. It's a smoldering crater. I'm just going to pick up a girl off the street, take her back home. That's a great idea.
I was just kind of weirded out by the fact that she was there, like, surviving, like, by herself. Like, where was everybody else?
Thank you.
Like,
because she's little. Like, she fell through a crack.
Mm-hmm. But you know what? I started wondering, like, okay, so, like, is she supposed to, like, I don't know. Something about that whole thing was just too weird, because it's like, okay, I don't know. Something about that was just weird, and not in a creepy, weird way. It was just weird the way that it happened.
Yep.
Like, you come across this building, and she's sitting there screaming. It's not like she couldn't move. She was standing right behind whatever. She was standing behind a piece of debris or whatever. She wasn't hurt. So why are you just standing behind the building screaming? Go out and venture forth and find people. I don't know.
She's not too bright. Okay, Carl. For Cloverfield Overlord, Bokeem Woodbine is going to be in it, son.
Oh, goodness. That right there should tell you everything you need to know about this.
Good.
Did Stephanie hang up? Did she hang up?
Yeah, no, she's passed out. She is passed out is what happened. She has given up on
she's
all
sick.
Of this.
She's sick.
Yeah,
she's
so sick that day.
She's got so sick.
Okay, guys, are you done? You don't have anything? Because I feel like Carl might have something else to say.
I don't want to say nothing else. This movie is dumb.
I have spent more time on this movie than I care to.
Okay.
It's like, I'd rather spend time on Ebola than this.
Wow.
So.
Okay.
Wow.
All right, guys. All right. Well, that's our show. I think this has been the crankiest sci-fi party line in a very long time.
Can I just point out?
Oh, here we go.
That the metal glue would have grabbed the guy, decided to go up his nose too. That is just science. That is science. Because the magnetic field is going the opposite direction, and when it wraps around you, it's got to go all in your nose. And it's just ridiculous.
But it was sentient, so.
No. And why was the station so complicated? That was the Mobius strip station. It had rings and rings and twists. It was awesome.
And that seemed like a pretty light crew for that giant.
You know, I thought that too. Because it's like, shouldn't they have
gravitational areas for no damn reason?
But they should have had more people than just that skeleton crew. It seemed pretty skeleton for that amount of.
Yes.
The four wings.
And I think they should have had a redundant person for everybody. Like, there should have been four doctors, four engineers, four blah blah, four botanists, whatever. You know what I mean? So
they were leaving room for the parallel folks to show up.
Ah.
It was sad.
That one person.
Okay. Can we try to end this again, Stephanie? Can we try to she was fussing.
I'm sorry. I'm hurt.
Okay. Go to our website. Leave your comments there. Let us know how you felt about Cloverfield Paradox. We're at scifipartyline.com. We're on Twitter, Facebook, and Google Plus, Stitcher Radio, and all that stuff. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we will see you at the party next time. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.